Tim Brown, live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7, and 106 FM.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock now, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan has hit back at the EFF, saying the charges laid against him by the party and its leader Julius Malema are baseless and are, of course, also fake news. Malema opened a criminal case against Gordhan at the Brooklyn Police Station in Pretoria today. The complaints include allegations of money laundering, corruption, racketeering, fraud, contravention of the Intelligence Act and the Prevention and Combating of Corruption Activities Act and perjury. The party made the damning allegations against Gordhan, including claims that his daughter Anisha was a beneficiary of state contracts. In a statement issued a short while ago, the minister's spokesperson, Mr. Adrian Lekay, says all these allegations made by the EFF had been addressed by Gordhan under oath at the commission, including those centred on the alleged rogue unit at SARS and the allegations about Gordhan having offshore accounts. Well, once again, we reached out to the EFF to give their version of the events. We managed to get hold of the EFF's spokesperson, Mr. Mbuesini Ndlozi. He said to my producer, we shouldn't hold our breath as they will never honour our invitation. Well, to get the side of Public Enterprises Minister, Mr. Pravin Gordhan, I'm now joined on the line by Mr. Tebogo Malatsi. Mr. Malatsi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Karima. Good evening and to your listeners.
Now, as I said earlier, Mr. Gordhan's spokesperson, Mr. Lekay, put out a statement earlier this afternoon saying that it's, you know, the EFF's contention that he is, in fact, corrupt, that his daughter benefited are completely based on, fake news. And, of course, there is no evidence to that effect. And today the EFF's actions is essentially just a distraction, because corruption is the real enemy of South Africa. Why was it so important for Mr. Pravin Gordhan to release a statement again when he did say this in the Commission on State Capture with Justice Zondo?
Yes, I think it's important to always set the record straight. There is a charge sheet that was supposedly submitted to the Brooklyn Police Station, which is a very uncharacteristic, because when you lay a criminal complaint, you actually submit a statement and charge sheet. But the charges contained in that so-called charge sheet are so outrageous that you can imagine. I mean, he needed to come on record and set it straight.
Yes. Now, of course, one of the allegations is that Mr. Gordhan established a so-called illegal rogue unit within the SARS, and that, that unit spied on other people, including former President Jacob Zuma. And the minister says that this is patently false and has been discredited and disavowed in the public domain, specifically in the interim report by the Nugent Commission of Inquiry into SARS, which says the following: I have not yet found why the creation and the existence of the unit was said to have been unlawful, which is how it was consistently and uncritically depicted. I find no reason why the establishment and the existence of a unit was indeed unlawful, and I am supported by in that opinion, given the SARS Commission of Commissioner Mr. Tom Moyani in late 2015. And then, of course, it also goes on to say that Mr. Gordhan has no bank accounts outside South Africa. Such allegations are patently false. We'll come to the issues around his daughter now. The issue of the so-called rogue unit is really, really important, because, of course, this has been disavowed in several ways. For example, the Sunday Times, who have written about it, has apologized. The KPMG report on which the so-called information was based has been disavowed by KPMG itself. What do you think is the purpose of the EFF trying to resurrect this narrative about the so-called rogue unit?
Well, I think probably we should start with the reference to the unit as rogue, and that's unfortunate, because the actual name of the unit is High Risk Investigation Unit, which was set up to investigate syndicated and organized crime in South Africa, insofar as it impacts the revenue services' ability to collect tax, which would in turn obviously benefit you and I and the rest of South Africa. So I think the reference to rogue is something that people need to ride. But quite honestly, I mean, the last finding by the Nugent Commission is the final, I think, pronouncement on the topic. But we mustn't also forget that the National Prosecuting Authority itself had decided way back in 2016 that those charges are not sustainable.
Exactly.
And that they did. That they did based on our... We did a detailed analysis of the legal position to show that the Sikakane report upon which the EFF relies upon was incorrect in its conclusion. And as you rightfully pointed out, I mean, there have been many other instances of demonstration that the finding was incorrect. But I think riding the wave of a raid unit is probably the motivation. But I think we should start calling it what it is. It was a high-risk investigation unit which collected lots of money on our behalf from people who didn't want to pay tax.
And of course, we have had corroboration of this by various ministers, including Trevor Manuel, who was the finance minister, and Mr. Castles, who was the intelligence minister at the time. But let's move on to Mr. Gordon, also very explicitly speaking to the allegations that the EFF had made against his daughter and that are somehow included in these charges. It says that the allegations regarding Minister Gordon's daughter and directorships on companies boards have been dealt with before at the Zondo Commission, but Minister Gordon testified the following: that she joined the Investec Bank at Private Equity Division in 2007, and resigned in 2017. Most financial institutions invest capital, that is their own or third party investor money, in emerging privately owned businesses. The private equity division at Investec invested in privately held companies on behalf of Investec Bank. Investec, the bank, was therefore the owner of the shares, not my daughter. She was an employee in this division and part of a team of 12 private equity professionals who were appointed as non-executive directors to the boards of these companies as representatives of Investec, the owner of the shares. Private equity professionals from this team represented Investec on the boards and of each of the companies. It is not her money. Their job is to look after the money of the bank and, of course, its investors. This then helps smaller businesses to grow and create jobs. The benefits went to the bank and its investors. Now, this is very important factually because, of course, today Mr. Malema really tried to get around this, and he couldn't really. And he said, she earned a salary and that's the bribe. Now, I mean, it is absolutely preposterous. It is like... someone saying the earth is flat when you have someone essentially attack epistemology, the way in which we understand facts. Why is this so dangerous, Mr. Malachi, and why is it so important that the EFF be corrected and that the South African public be told explicitly that this is in fact complete fabrications?
The sad part of it is that everybody who knows any form of finance and structured funding, whether in the private and the public sector, would know that there is nothing unusual about this which Minister has described. When a funder provides money to a business, they want to make sure that there's somebody who's going to be there as part of the board of directors to look after the business and make sure that the money is actually applied for the purpose for which it was you know, procured.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, if this argument of Malema is correct,
yes,
then all of the employees of the IDC, the DBSA,
yes,
and all of the state's funding institutions, the PIC and so forth, who fund private businesses and insist on there being a director,
yes,
being an employee of those public entities, and those people are equally corrupt. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean that just can't be. But an attack of this nature has now mutated from what it originally was when it was uncovered.
Yes,
for being unreal and untrue. It is now mutated into exactly what you now said. You say, well, she draws the salary. But the fact of the matter is the beneficiary is the owner of those shares, and it is investing them on behalf of itself and other investors. She derives no personal benefit whatsoever, not even remotely.
Now, Mr. Malachi, yesterday you spoke also of the fact that your client has no offshore accounts, that his daughter has no offshore accounts. A colleague of mine said if Mr. Pravin Gordhan has offshore accounts, he's actually just going to shoot himself, because then there's going to be nothing to believe in this country. Now, of course, something isn't true simply because someone says so. What kind of factual evidence is the minister prepared to put out there back up the fact that he was so categoric about this issue? Because the EFF went around and spoke about these monies in Canada and how they are hidden, and that Mr. Malema was so ridiculous, he even went as far as saying that Mr. Gordhan has an office at Investec. I mean, it was just poppycock, if you like. But the point is, they were televised, they were allowed to say these things in public. And of course, in the heat of the moment, the journalists aren't able to actually contest some of the facts. They, in many ways, act almost as stenographers. We just kind of reflect what he says, whether it is true or not.
I'm going to give you two things in response to that. The first one is, obviously, the minister can only react to such allegations as are put to him. So let's look at what are those allegations. The allegations are that he holds a bank account, and then they name the Royal Bank of Canada in Montreal, and they give an account number. And lo and behold, who's the account holder, according to their own allegations? Firstly, the first initial of the said Gordhan is R, and we all know that R is not part of Minister Gordhan's initials. And the second name is the same as his, and the third is the same as his. Now, that's the sum total of the allegations. What can minister do other than to say, I do not hold an account, and not even the one that's specified? And I've just made an additional point to say, the account holder doesn't even match his names. But secondly, and most importantly, this account was allegedly set up so that people can deposit money, taxpayers, South African taxpayers, can deposit money into it for his benefit. Guess what? We have one of the most sophisticated banking systems in the world.
Mm.
So if you want to export South African rands out of the country, you have to do it through an authorized dealer, which is your normal big banks, and that permission must be granted by the Reserve Bank. On the other hand, the Financial Intelligence Center is there to monitor transactions on our financial system. And you can imagine that, I mean, people like Minister Gordhan are top of the list of those that are monitored.
Yes.
Now, how did these people supposedly manage to export this capital, under what pretext, into an account that's held by the minister? That's impermissible under the exchange control regulations, and the systems of exchange control are such as to pick up any such transaction. So it defies any logic for anybody to put these kind of allegations in an affidavit without at least having considered,
yes,
can it be real? Just ask yourself, can it be real that money can leave this country and go into an account of the Minister of Finance in another country and nobody picks it up.
I think that is
all these authorities I've mentioned to you.
Mr. Malachi, I think that's the important thing. Can this be real? So, for example, when this is now given to the police at the Brooklyn Police Station, I mean, what is the rationale and what is the rationality that they have to apply to see whether this is actually just, rubbish or whether there's any basis of truth in it? Surely the police have some responsibility in that.
Well, it's an interesting question that you ask. Any person can lay a criminal complaint, and the measure is simply whether the allegations made would indicate at the prima facie level, in other words, on the face of it,
yes,
the commission of an offence.
Yes.
Yes, there is an assessment by the police that the police says that must be made, but that's done as part of the investigation. And on legal matters, for instance, on what I've just put to you about the South African banking system and how you export South African rands from the country, they would go and consult with the Reserve Bank and go back to the NPA and say, is this sustainable or not? Mm. But of course, they must start first with who is the account holder and does this account actually exist? And for that, they will need assistance. So they must investigate at a minimum,
yes,
before they can say there is no basis to proceed further. And the decision to prosecute or not prosecute, remember, is that of the National Prosecuting Authority.
The sad thing, of course, we've been here and we saw the last time when the minister was charged that there was, in fact, no basis in law for the charges. Mr. Tebogo Malachi, thank you very much. That's the lawyer representing Public Enterprises Minister, Mr. Pravin Gordhan.